In the tapestry of Islamic life, dimensions unfold. In the tapestry of Islamic life, dimensions unfold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen, amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani channel, welcome and marhaba to another episode of this beautiful silsila, Dimensions of Islamic Life. We discuss different facets of our life as a Muslim and the problem day-to-day issues that we deal with and their Islamic solutions. Alhamdulillah. Amir al-Mu'mineen, Hazrat Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he narrates that reciting Durood Sharif upon the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam removes sins more quickly than cold water extinguishing fire. And sending salam upon him is better than freeing a slave. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dear viewers, alhamdulillah, as our topic for today is the Islamic concept of employment. Yes, that is something that most of us are involved in, whether you are an employee, whether you are an employer. There are rules and regulations and Islamic values to adhere to in all matters of life, and the matters of employment and these matters of keeping a job, applying for a job, adhering to the terms and conditions of our jobs, etc., are also an important part of our life where we need Islamic guidance. Alhamdulillah, in today's episode, we are going to explore what are the Islamic values surrounding this topic. This is a vast topic where, alhamdulillah, we need a guidance, Islamic guidance, with regards to the do's and the don'ts of it, with regards to the virtues of seeking halal rizq. Yes, and alhamdulillah, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted you and I the means to go out and seek rizq halal, and it should be also pursued in the halal way. Yes, so inshallah azza wa jal, we are going to explore this topic. But before that, let's listen to a beautiful kalam in the praise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is also the praises of the Mubarak city of Madina Munawwara, and it is the wish, inshallah, the wish that we were in the Mubarak city of Madina Munawwara instead of being anywhere else in the world. And the shayar very beautifully says, Khake Madina hoti mai khak sar hota. Alhamdulillah, it is recited by none other than our great Muballigh of Da'wat Islami, our brother Khalil Attari Damat Barakatumul Aliya. So listen to this kalam and rejuvenate your hearts with the recitation of Durood and Salam and with the recitation of a Naat in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and alhamdulillah, make your hearts eager to go and visit and get the hazri of the Mubarak Rauza Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Madina Munawwara. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam.
Madina saadi jaane, Madina saadi jaane, Madina saadi jaane, Madina saadi jaane, khaake Madina, 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 hoti main khaak saar hota, hoti rahe Madina mera gubar hota, hoti rahe Madina mera gubar hota. Aqa gaye karam se tayba mujhe bulate,
طیبہ مجھے بلاتے روزے پر صدقے ہوتا ان پر نثار ہوتا روزے پر صدقے ہوتا روزے پر صدقے ہوتا ان پر نثار ہوتا
خاک مدینہ ہوتی میں خاک مدینہ ہوتا
بے کس کو گر بلاتے کس کو گر بلاتے کیوں سب کی ٹھوکروں پر پڑھ کر خوار ہوتا کیوں سب کی ٹھوکروں پر کیوں سب کی ٹھوکروں پر پڑھ کر خوار ہوتا زمین ہوتی ان کے قریب بستا دل کو قرار ہوتا ان کے قریب بستا ان کے قریب بستا دل کو قرار ہوتا کے خوب لگتی مٹی میری ٹھکانے گھروں کی راہ گزر پر گھروں کی راہ گزر پر میرا مزار ہوتا یہ آرزو دل کی ہوتا وہ سبز گنبد یہ آرزو ہے دل کی ہوتا وہ سبز گنبد اور میں غبار بن کر اس پر نثار ہوتا اور میں غبار بن کر اور میں غبار بن کر اس پر نثار ہوتا اب تک سمجھا بجھا کے رکھا بے چین دل کو اب تک سمجھا بجھا کے رکھا بے چین دل کو اب تک سمجھا بجا کے رکھا مگر اب تو اسے آقا نہیں انتظار ہوتا مگر اب تو اسے آقا مگر اب تو اسے آقا نہیں انتظار ہوتا
مدینہ ہوتی میں خاک مدینہ ہوتا
آج ہوتا
سالک ہوئے ہم ان کے وہی ہوئے ہمارے سالک ہوئے ہم ان کے وہی ہوئے ہمارے
دل مضطرب تو لیکن نہیں اعتبار ہوتا دل مضطرب کو لیکن دل مضطرب کو لیکن نہیں اعتبار ہوتا
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وسلم. سبحان الله, such a wonderful Quran in the memories of the Mubarak city of Medina Munawwara. خاک مدینہ ہوتی میں خاک سار ہوتا. سبحان الله. Alhamdulillah, after listening to this Quran and enlightening our hearts with the memories of Medina Munawwara, let's inshallah azza wa jal adhere to those rules and regulations and the virtues and values that were still instilled in the hearts of the ummah by that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who is residing in Medina Munawwara. Subhanallah. And our today's topic being the Islamic concept of employment, it is mentioned that it's fard and it's obligatory for both the employer as well as the employee to learn the rulings of Sharia pertaining to employment as and when required. If they don't learn, they both will be sinners. Allahu Akbar. And if you want the detailed rulings about employment, it can be found in Bahar-e Shariat. Bahar-e Shariat is the encyclopedia of Hanafi fiqh in the Urdu language. Yes, alhamdulillah, and Yo Dawat Islami has done a tremendous work of publishing this beautiful package of Islamic laws in a very beautiful manner, rectifying all the errors, the printing errors, mashallah, and putting it in a beautiful book form, referencing every masail that are there from their sources, mashallah, and putting in a footnote. If there are any difficult words that are hard to understand, they simplified the terms, alhamdulillah, the terms such as farz, wajib, halal, haram, mustahab, etc. are simplified, alhamdulillah, for your ease of understanding. So if we are really concerned about the rules and regulations of employment from an Islamic perspective, inshallah, that can be learnt from this beautiful source. And inshallah, we'll explore some basic guidelines with regards to the laws of employment, what an employee should adhere to, what an employer should adhere to. At the time of hiring, it is mandatory to fix the duration of employment. The duration of employment, the working hours, the salary, etc., all has to be discussed in detail. And inshallah, azza wa jal, so that way, both the parties, they are well acquainted with what they are getting themselves into. It is an agreement, it is a sort of, you know, transaction that happens. We are transacting our time for the money or the monetary gain that we receive in return, and there is a stipulated time period for which we need to work. For example, in most of our situation, it's 8 hours a day, and it may be 6 to 7 days a week, depending on rules and the traditions of that company. Then there are days for which one is allowed to take a leave. There are days for which an employee gets sick, and there are rulings with regards to that, alhamdulillah, in the beautiful Sharia of Islam. Sayyidi Al-Hazrat Ali Rahmah, he says that there are three different paces of work. He says the one pace of work can be that person is usually lazy. The second is average, you work at an average pace. And then the third is you work very efficient and fast. During his stipulated working hours, if the employee works lazily and not even with the average speed, he will be a sinner, and receiving full wage in this case is haram for him. This is the ruling, the Sharia ruling with regards to that. If somebody is guilty of doing that, he can receive the wage only for the amount of work which he has done, and he must return the excess wage to the employer. And that has been mentioned by Imam Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahmatur rahman in his Fatawa Razviya Sharif, volume 19, page number 407. If the employee ever gets lazy at work, he should ponder. If we as an employee, we get lazy, we should ponder as to how much work we could have done if we are working with average speed. For instance, if somebody is a computer operator, you know, computer literate, and he does computer work, IT work, and gets $100 daily as a wage, for example, he manages to compose 100 lines a day, working with the average speed if you are a composer, but 90 lines were composed someday owing to laziness and unnecessary conversation, because we got caught up in unnecessary stuff. So that person must get $10 deducted from his wage for that day. This is just an example. If he does not have the excess money deducted, he will be a sinner and deserving of hellfire. Allahu Akbar. This is so severe. If an employee gets late deliberately for work in a way that is contrary to the norms, or leaves earlier, or gets absent unduly, meaning he got no valid reason to be absent from work, he will be committing the sin of deliberately violating the contract of employment. Yes, this is a contract, and we are violating that contract by doing this. Furthermore, if he receives full salary in such a case, he would be more of a sinner and would deserve the torment of fire. The employee should remain active during his duty and avoid the acts causing laziness. For instance, if sleeping late at night or even performing nafl salah causes sluggishness in work because he never got a full night's sleep, he is to avoid such acts as the one deliberately being lazy at work. Though he gets the money deducted from his wage or salary, will be a sinner, for he has made employment contract according to which he is bound to work at least with the average speed. It has already been described with reference to Fatawa Razviya Sharif, as we have mentioned, the three pieces of work, that the employee working lazily during working hours is a sinner. Obviously, the employee's undue laziness and absence bring about loss to the employer's work. However, whether there is someone to monitor or not, the employee should fear Allah Azza wa Jal. We mustn't fear whether the camera is watching you, the floor manager is watching you, whether your manager who's supposed to monitor your progress, whether they are monitoring you or watching you, whether your supervisor is watching you. We as Muslims, we need to be fearful of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah is watching us at all times. And if we get our salary deducted in proportion to the reduction in work that took place as a result of laziness, that is our own doing. Furthermore, we should repent of this kind of practice and apologize to the employer as well, that because of my own incompetency, I didn't get the work done. However, if it is privately owned organization and the employer forgives the amount of deduction either, the employee will not be sinner. For example, if the employer doesn't mind, and if you did your duty to inform the employer that, you know what, because of my incompetency or because of my laziness, I didn't get certain amount of work done in the stipulated time which I could have achieved, and you sought forgiveness for it, and the employer forgave that amount of reduction and he didn't do any deduction from your wages, then as an employee you will not be a sinner, inshallah azza wa jal. But the employee who is bound to work solely for a particular employer or organization during fixed timings cannot do even his personal work during his stipulated work hours. Yes, because we have sold that hours, that many hours, to the organization or the company or the employer that we are working for. He can offer, however, fard and sunnat muakkada salah during the salah times. There is no stopping of fulfilling your fard duties as fard salah and sunnat muakkada. However, it is not permissible for the employee to offer nafal salah during the hours of duty. Furthermore, one is allowed to go to offer salatul jumu'ah on jumu'ah if the jumu'ah masjid is situated far from the workplace, and more time will be spent for this reason, the wage for that duration will be deducted. Yes, if the jumu'ah masjid is far and it's not near where you can easily go and commute back and forth to and from the jumu'ah masjid, then and if you have to travel for a far distance, that will require more time, commuting time back and forth, then in that case the salary will be deducted. And if the jumu'ah masjid is situated in the vicinity, in the same area where you work, no deduction will be made to your wages, and the employee should receive his full wages. These are the rules and regulations that an employee and the employer should adhere to, subhanallah. And this is a beautiful way the Sharia of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam guides us. These are the Islamic values when it comes to our employment in the beautiful environment of Dawat Islam is Jamiatul Madina, etc. There are some cautious Islamic brothers who get some amount of their salary deducted each month as a precaution. Their spirit is highly appreciable. Yes, this is because they have the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. They have Fikri Madina, subhanallah. Everyone should follow such pious people in these matters. If one left a bit of his money in the organization, he can bear it. But if he received even a single unlawful dollar, it might result in severe torment which no one can bear. The supervisor of the company should supervise and observe all the employees properly. He should submit a detailed report to the relevant department or official on the performance of the employees committing misconduct at work or duty times or showing laziness at work. These are severe matters. These are the matters of halal and haram. Resigning from the job of a religious organization on the account of foregoing reason and getting a job in such an organization in which there is no one to monitor is also something that's not right. You know, it's unfortunate that a person looks for such loopholes. These are the issues that should be discussed, you know, when they are still in the hiring process. For example, in certain workplaces, you know, sometimes it is hard to get permission even to offer Jummah Salah. But if these matters are discussed beforehand, as a Muslim, we should be worried about these matters. We can consult with our employers that they should allow us to go out and perform our Jummah Salah, our Fard Salah, etc. And inshallah, Azawajal, in that way, we can sort out these matters before time, inshallah, Azawajal. So these are the things to look into, and our terms of agreement with regards to our employment, it can be made better if we can make prior arrangements as opposed to, you know, when we are getting the package, the employment package, and everything is discussed usually, you know, the salaries and the increment year over year, and for example, the yearly leaves, the sick leaves, etc., you know, working hours, you know, hours where we are allowed to take the time off, lunch break, tea breaks, etc. If everything we're discussing, it doesn't hurt to discuss the salah timing. Yes, we must make the our employer aware of the salah timing. These are the timings of salah, and can I get maybe 15 minutes to offer my salah in these times, stipulated times? Let's say, for example, you could take your lunch break at a time where you can offer Zuhr Salah in that time, inshallah Azza wa Jal. So it corresponds with the time of Zuhr Salah. Yes, and mostly Zuhr Salah falls in during lunch time in most places. So yes, alhamdulillah, we can take care of our Zuhr Salah in that time. And for example, Asr Salah as well, we can make separate request to the employee for the Asr Salah now, because Zuhr Salah can be incorporated in our lunch time, during our lunch time, but for inshallah our Asr Salah, we can have an agreement with the employee that please give me a time off, maybe for 10 to 15 minutes, so I can quickly go and offer my Asr Salah, inshallah. So yes, by doing these things, we are ensuring that we are keeping to our Islamic values, and the beauty of it we'll see in our system, in our wrist, inshallah. There are more such rulings, inshallah, if we adhere to them. Yes, our terms of employment, etc., it can be made easy, and there will be barakah in our risk. Furthermore, in case of permission, the employee can participate in mustahab deeds as well, such as darus and sunnah, inspiring ijtima, etc. If you sought permission for these things, and if you are allowed by the employer himself, then yes, you can do these things because you already sought permission in advance. If the watchman, security guards or policemen, etc., if they go to sleep deliberately during duty hours, then they will be sinners because they didn't adhere to the employment contract because of the undue mishaps, you know, that they are making. They are going to sleep when they are supposed to be guarding the properties, etc. And if something happens during that time, then it is their responsibility. So they need to keep their eyes peeled and guard the premises as they are supposed to do. Furthermore, they will have to get their salary deducted if they had fallen asleep deliberately and violated the contract of employment for the amount of time during which they deliberately or unintentionally even slept or remained heedless of their job. Yes. If the employee gets free time during his duty, there is no harm for him to do zikr, recite Durood Sharif, or go through books, etc., within this duration, provided it does not affect their responsibilities. Yes. For example, if you get 1 hour lunch break and maybe you have your lunch maybe in 10 to 15 minutes, another 10 to 15 minutes to offer your Zuhr Salah, you still have half an hour remaining to do whatever you wish. So in that time, if you are engaging in making zikr or reading a book and learning about Islam, this shouldn't hinder in your work duties because that is your time for lunch. And in that time, you are allowed to do whatever that you need to do because you are not violating the terms of employment by doing that, inshallah, azza wa jal. So we should keep this in mind. The summary of a saying of Sadr al-Sharia, Badr al-Tariqa, Allama, Mawlana Mufti Amjad Ali Azmi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, is that it is not permissible to be in two different employments with the same working hours. Meaning it is not permissible to be in two different employments with the same working hours. If your working hours, let's say for example, is 9 to 5 in one premises and at one environment of work, then you cannot take another employment within the same hours. Meaning if someone is already in paid employment at an organization, he cannot do paid work for any other organization, etc., during the same timings. Yes, during the same 9 to 5. But if the working hours are different, then yes, you can do that. The employer cannot make his employee work during the holidays observed according to the norms. Yes, if you are on holidays and it is your right to get those days on the leave, then the employer, by Sharia, they cannot force you to work for those times for which you are supposed to be on leave or on holiday. If he does so by force, he will be a sinner. However, if he requests his employee in a polite manner, not in a commanding voice, and the employee works willingly, or if he is paid for working overtime, it is permissible to do so because there is a sort of agreement. Yes. Remember that the ruling that it is wajib to fix the wage if it is explicit or implicit that wage has to be paid. Subhanallah. So it is wajib to fix the wage. On such an occasion, instead of fixing the wage, it is insufficient to say such sentences as come and start the work, we'll see, we'll give you whatever wage is appropriate for you, we'll make you happy, we'll give you pocket money, etc. This is not sufficient. It has to be in concrete manner and it has to be substantiated in proper manners. Remember that it is a sin to give and take wage without specifying it. Yes, furthermore, Demanding the wage more than the fixed amount is also prohibited. If the amount is fixed, then we as employees cannot demand for more. But if the amount is fixed, then we are not also expected to receive less wages than it is agreed upon. However, if the one making someone work, you know, makes it clear in advance that he would pay nothing and the worker agrees to it, then, but the norm gives is that we are given some money of his own accord, then there is no harm in such payments and earnings because it was previously discussed and there was no expectation. But if he gives something, inshallah azza wa jal, that's good enough. If the one who had been receiving full salary despite being absent or being lazy during duty hours now feels guilty, a mere verbal repentance is not sufficient for him. The matter of undue wage or salary which is received to date will have to be dealt with according to Sharia rulings. With regards to the solution of this issue, Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma, he says that in case of receiving undue wage, the employee has to return the excess to the employer. And if the employer has passed away, the employee has to return this amount to the employer's heirs. But it is haram for the employee to spend this money on personal use or any other which is not sadaqah. Allahu Akbar. If the exact amount is not known, make a conservative, you know, estimate and abide by the rulings of Sharia accordingly. So we can take precautions, inshallah, in these regards, because these are the matters that are pertaining to our halal and haram earnings. Yes, we are, as Muslims, are supposed to eat halal and abstain from haram. So how can that food be halal which is purchased through haram earnings? And haram earnings can, an earning here can become haram because of violating our terms of employment and because of unjustly receiving wages for the work we have not done. So yes, we need to be careful as Muslims, because if we earn haram, if we eat haram, the outcome will be just as bad. And as Muslims, we are only supposed to strive for that which is halal, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all tawfiq to earn rizq halal. Ameen. Bijahin Nabi Lamin. Alhamdulillah. And now we are reaching close to doing our segment for today, and that is to succeed, you must read. And inshallah azza wa jal, today we are going to discuss a book, Virtues of Islamic Knowledge, inshallah azza wa jal. So keep watching Madani channel. We are going to listen to this clip and nasiha by the Mawalli of Dawat Islam, our brother Rizwan Attari, who is giving us nasiha and guidance how to remain safe from satanic tricks. Inshallah azza wa jal, watch this clip and learn from this beautiful nasiha. And we'll be back after the clip. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam.
Respected viewers of Madani Channel, today inshallah we'll learn that who are those, they are not misguided by the shaitan, Iblis, la'in. The chosen and distinguished servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to the honorable prophets alayhi salam and the saints, meaning the prophets alayhi salam and awliya Allah rahimahumullah. They are the ones who are not misguided by the shaitan. The reason is anbiya kiram, prophets alayhi salam, they are infallible, ma'asum, and they do not commit sin. Shaitan cannot misguide them. Whereas awliya Allah, friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are mahfuz. Whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to protect, Allah protects them from sinning. So these are the ones who are chosen ones, and they remain safeguarded through the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi said, according to the honorable Sufis, there are two ways to overpower shaitan. What are those two ways? One should seek refuge with Allah Almighty and remain safe from the deceit of shaitan. This is very important. If you want to overpower shaitan, what should you do? You should seek refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ask help from the God of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who can protect you and you can remain safeguarded from the tricks of shaitan. And the second advice Imam Ghazali al-Rahma has given is, one should always remain prepared to fight against shaitan. Drive him away and oppose him. So we should always be ready for our self-defense from shaitan, from nafs. And if we are ready and prepared to tackle the tricks of shaitan, then inshaAllah there will be madad of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we will remain safe from the tricks of shaitan. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وسلم سبحان الله سبحان الله. Such a beautiful nasiha and advice given to us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to make amal on what has been said. Ameen bijahi nabi l-ameen. Alhamdulillah, as we are discussing this beautiful publication of Maktabatul Madina, Virtues of Islamic Knowledge, Alhamdulillah, this is the virtue of Islamic knowledge that we are sitting here and watching this silsila, and we are learning our Islamic values and Islamic knowledge, mashallah. So this book beautifully, alhamdulillah, it is composed and written, and it is available from the bookshop of Dawat Islami in your area. You can visit the bookshop of Dawat Islami Maktabatul Madina in your area, or if you cannot, then simply visit the website of Dawat Islami, dawatislami.net, and from there you can download this book free of cost. The name of the book, again I will repeat, is Virtues of Islamic Knowledge. On page 2 of this beautiful publication, it is mentioned that the royal throne of Queen Bilqis was 80 yards long and 40 yards wide, and it was decorated with gold, silver, jewels, pearls, and a host of other precious items. When Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam turned away Bilqis' message bearer and the gift she had sent to him, he then sent her a letter in which he instructed her to become Muslim and visit him. A wish then developed in the heart of Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam. Before Bilqis' arrival in his court, he wanted her throne to be present beforehand. He intended to show her this as a miracle, show this to her as a miracle, so that the truthfulness of his prophethood may become apparent to her, because a miracle serves as a proof of a prophet's veracity. And Quranic tafasir shed further light on this subject matter, and they explain how Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam desired to change the appearance of the throne before Bilqis' arrival and test her intellect as to whether she would be able to recognize it. He then addressed his courtiers and he said to them, as it is mentioned in the Holy Quran, Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam said, Saint Sulaiman, O members of my chamber, which one of you can bring me her throne before they come in my respected court? Submitting, an extremely evil jinn said, I will present that throne in your respected court before your highness terminates this assembly, and I am indeed powerful and trustworthy upon it. Hearing what the jinn had to say, Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam replied, I desire for the throne to be even quicker than this. And this statement was heard by his minister, Sayyidina Asif bin Barqiya rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, a saint who demonstrated miracles. The Quran describes how he then submitted a request in the court of Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam, as mentioned in verse 40 of Surah An-Naml. And he said, قَالَ الَّذِي عِنْدَهُ عِلْمٌ مِّنَ الْكِتَابِ أَنَا آتِيكَ بِهِ قَبْلَ أَن يَرْتَدَّ إِلَيْكَ طَرْفُكَ. Subhanallah. He who had knowledge of the book submitted, I will present it in your majesty's court before the blink of an eye. Sayyidina Asif bin Balkhiyah rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh utilized his spiritual power to bring the throne of Bilqis from Sheba in Yemen, and it arrived from Yemen to Baitul Maqdis in Jerusalem. The throne itself was transported underground and appeared next to the seat of Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam in an instance. Allahu. May Allah Azza wa Jal have mercy upon him and forgive us without accountability for his sake. Ameen bijahi nabil ameen. The way this incident describes a saintly miracle performed by Sayyidina Asif bin Barqiya, the Quran also highlights knowledge as being the distinguishing factor of his excellence. Acquiring Islamic knowledge is one of the most superior acts of worship, as evidenced by the following statement of Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mubarak radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He was asked who is truly a human being, and in response he said, the scholars, subhanallah. And then he was asked who is a king, and he further said, the righteous is the king. Finally, he was then asked who are lowly people, and to which he responded, those who amass the world in place of religion. Imam Muhammad al-Ghazali rahimahullah ta'ala, he explains this statement of Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mubarak. He said that Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mubarak did not consider a non-scholar to be truly a human, as knowledge is the distinguishing merit which differentiates mankind from other creatures. Subhanallah. Humans attain the very essence of humanity through this merit of knowledge, which grants them honor. Physical strength does not make one a human being, as even camels are greater in strength. Nor does physical size, as elephants are greater and larger than humans. In the same vein, bravery does not make one human, as predatory animals are much more braver than a human being. Consuming more also does not necessitate this, as the stomach of bulls are bigger than the stomachs of a human. On the contrary, humans were made exclusively for knowledge. Subhanallah. Allah Azza wa Jal says in verse 43 of Surah Al-Ankabut, and we illustrate these examples for the people, and no one understands them except the people of knowledge. Subhanallah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says in the Mubarak Hadith, no worship of Allah has ever been performed which is greater than acquiring an understanding of religion. And a jurist, an Islamic scholar, is heavier upon Satan than 1,000 worshippers. Even everything has a pillar, and the pillar of this religion is fiqh, subhanallah, is in Islamic understanding. In another hadith, that hadith says that two traits are such that cannot be found in a hypocrite: good manners and the understanding of religion. Sayyidina Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he elaborates on the wording of this hadith by saying that the meaning of fiqh in this hadith is not what you consider it to be. The minimum rank of a jurist requires that he has complete certainty that the hereafter is greater than this world. If his recognition of this matter is genuine, he shall become pure from hypocrisy and ostentation. Subhanallah, subhanallah. May Allah Azza wa Jal grant us tawfiq to reach that level. Ameen bijahi nabiyil ameen. And narrations describe how Sayyidina Luqman rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi issued a will to his son, and in this will he said, O son, remain in the company of scholars as Allah enlivens the earth with the light of wisdom, as he enlivens earth with continuous rain. Subhanallah, subhanallah. The ascetic scholar Sayyidina Fath Musili rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, once he asked people, will a patient not die if they are stopped from eating, drinking and taking medicine? And people said, why wouldn't they? Of course. And then he explained, the same matter applies to the heart. it will die if kept away from knowledge and wisdom for more than 3 days. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala said regarding this, Imam Fath Musili rahimahullah ta'ala spoke the complete truth. And the same way in which food is the nourishment for the body, knowledge and wisdom are the nourishment for the heart. Through this, a person remains alive. Whoever does not possess knowledge has an ailing heart which will surely die. Yet, they are unaware of this fact. This is because love of the world and remaining engaged in it removes this realization. So inshallah, let's wake up from this slumber of heedlessness and wake up before death causes us to see these realities, and it will be too late then. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, we adhere to these beautiful parables that we learned in this beautiful book of virtues of Islamic knowledge. Get your hands on this book inshallah Azza wa Jal. Visit the website of Dawat Islami, punch in the URL dawatislami.net now and get your hands on this book inshallah Azza wa Jal. You'll be amazed as to what you will find, and as a motivation for you to be motivated and read and pick up Islamic books inshallah Azza wa Jal, and learn Islamic values and lessons which can help you in your life in the world and the life of the hereafter inshallah Azza wa Jal. And as I have only narrated about 5 to 6 pages from this book, there are still more than 10 pages to go through inshallah, which you will find out inshallah once you have this book in your hand and you are reading. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all tawfiq. Let's inshallah conclude today's episode with a recitation of durood and salam in the court of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Until next time, sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
In the tapestry of Islamic life dimensions unfold, in the tapestry of Islamic life dimensions unfold, in these sacred teachings hearts find peace and gold, in these sacred teachings hearts find peace.